Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. We also want to welcome those of you who are attending by Zoom. We'd like to especially welcome our visitors who are here, and we invite you back each and every opportunity you might have to come worship with us. Our midweek Bible study will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Our Sunday evening service will be tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. So we invite everyone to come back and worship with us. We want to announce the men who will be participating this evening will be Dustin McMillan will direct our singing. Robert Simpson will have opening prayer. Michael Faris will have closing prayer. We want to remind all the teens that we announced last week, Wednesday teen meals have been suspended until August, and they will resume them. Then, with the passing of another school year, we want to thank the ladies of the congregation who have been so good in providing that for our teens. Also, we announced that beginning this morning, we received our summer quarter in our Bible school programs that will begin Sunday, June 5th, and there will be teacher rotation. If you need new materials, please see Ryan Simpson. Well, this is a good day for us. The Lord has blessed us here at Beach Hill this past week with the addition of two new babies. This past Wednesday, May 18th, Mason McBride's son, Camden Myers McBride, was born. Weighing 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 19 and a half inches long, we're happy to announce he's healthy and doing great. The Beach Hill grandparents are Micah and Casey McBride. Great-grandparents are Steve and Paula McBride. Great-great-grandmother is Miss Mary D. Smith. That is five generations. So very few of us get to see that, D.D., so congratulations. You're a blessed lady. Also, we have Will and Amanda delivered this week, the following day, Thursday, May 19th, with Colton James Simpson. Colton weighed in at 4 pounds, 13 ounces, and our Beach Hill grandparents are Bob and Penny Simpson. And Amanda returned home yesterday, but Colton has remained at the hospital, but he's doing well. So please continue to pray for Colton because he was a little early. We also have a baby shower for Amanda that is scheduled for Sunday, June 5th, 2 p.m. here at Beach Hill at the Fellowship Hall. So ladies, please put that on your calendars. We want to announce that the church received a donation from Miss Wanda Hobson in memory of Gail Hobson Winter. So we thank Miss Wanda for that as well. Next Sunday, May 29th, we're going to have our normal schedule of services in the morning. Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship at 10:15, and at 6 o'clock p.m. we'll have our evening service. But young people will attend the event at Chapman at 6 o'clock. And that's Youth Night, area-wide Youth Night at Chapman on May 29th at 6 o'clock p.m. And the speaker is Donnie DeBoard. All of our youth are invited, and the church bus will leave here at Beach Hill at 5:15. So please make arrangements for all of the youth to get here at 5:15, and we'll have transportation for you to go to Chapman. Our sick list, we want to remember Roy Stacks, who is going to have a heart catheterization this upcoming Tuesday. Please keep him in your prayers. We also want to continue to remember Tommy Simpson as he's going through tests, scans, and procedures. So please keep Dr. Simpson in your prayers. Miss Shirley Estes is still recovering from a fall. I think she is with her daughter, Brenda shared with us, and Sunday school. So please keep Miss Shirley in your prayers. Samantha Weathersby, a friend of ours, has been diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer, and her surgery is scheduled for June 9th. So please keep her in your prayers as well. Jim Mountjoy, our friend, spent the last week, this week at Duke, getting some additional testing, trying to see if he's able to participate in an experimental program for the treatment of his brain tumor. So they've asked that we keep them in our prayers as well. And we want to remember our Vacation Bible School that begins June 12th through the 15th. Please keep that in mind. And the little ones that we announced that have we have added Simpson and McBride families, as the tree grows, it won't be long. They'll be running up and down these rows for Vacation Bible School. So we certainly look forward to that. Our Ukraine mission, we've been asked to bring stuffed animals and baby throws and blankets, but Winston shared with me that our deadline is going to be next Sunday night. So they've got the plans to move those items out, to ship those out. So we had said end of May, beginning of June, but we have a hard deadline now of next Sunday night. So please, if you, everybody who wants to participate, bring those stuffed animals, baby throws, and blankets so that we can get those passed to the appropriate people and get them transported for the children of Ukraine. This morning, our scripture reading will be by Ryan Simpson, our opening prayer by Michael Dees, our closing prayer will be by Brother Alan Grady, and King McCarver will have the message of the hour. So please take a songbook, and Stacy Simmons will lead us in our singing. So if you'll watch our boards or get a hymnal, Stacy will direct us. Thank you.
Our first song will be number one. We'll sing all three verses of number one.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely give them, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Number 86. We'll sing all three verses of 86.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone, in a fairer region among the angel throng. They are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven, tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all.
Song for our scripture reading and opening prayer. Be 32. Let's sing all three verses of 3-2.
The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. And when to that bright world above we rise to see our Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love his name, the name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
This morning I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 30. And ending in verse 34. Word of God says, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart.
You bow with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear, wonderful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that we have and the freedom to be able to awaken and be able to assemble without fear and molestation. We thank you for this peace, and we pray that peace will abound throughout the world and especially the Ukraine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rains that we receive, for the crops and the drinking water that we need, and all the blessings, both spiritual and material. And we thank you mostly for our health, Lord. And we, at this time, pray for the ones that were mentioned earlier that are sick and unable to be with us. We pray that you will be able to restore their soul, if it be thy will, and be able to assemble with us soon. We thank you for, Lord, for the works that we participate in. We pray that we will help in any way that we can to strengthen these and be able to give the missionaries here and abroad the things that they need to push thy word and spread thy gospel throughout this land and others. We pray for the ones here that are preparing for our vacation Bible school. We pray that it will be a success for our youth, and we pray for our youth that they will be able to hear the word and be able to understand and be able to become a Christian someday. We thank you for all the things that are given to us in each and every day. And Lord, we know that we fail you, and we pray at this time that you will forgive us of the things that we've sinned. But Lord, we thank you mostly for your Son, Jesus, that gives us the hope of eternal life with you. We pray that you will continue to be with us each and every day and guide, guard, and direct us until the end. And when time is no more, please give us a home in heaven with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 177. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of 177.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
invitation song will be number 411. Number 411.
I was struck by the second verse of the song that we just sang. Stacy led us in when this writer wrote the words that I know that his will is that we should be holy, that his holy face we may see. We're thankful for our redemption. It's a redemption, and then we may praise our Redeemer who has delivered us, and we do not want to go back into anything or turn to anything from which it is his work to redeem us, to save us, that we might belong to him and be his people, that we might his holy face someday see, and throughout our lives recognize his wills that we be holy, that he might bring that everlasting joy to us on that day. I was struck by that thought in that psalm, because it very much is in line with what I would have us think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. And the Apostle Paul expressed this aim in the passage with which you are familiar. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. When Paul said we make it our aim, he meant our goal. The King James Version says our labor. That being our goal, we labor for this. And is a word that fundamentally meant this is our ambition. This is the chief purpose of our lives, that we might be well-pleasing to him. Whether at home or absent, that is when he comes, whether we be alive at that time or have already departed, that on that notable day, we might be accepted of him as those who have been pleasing in his sight. We are coming to a time when we will be manifested for the judgment seat of Christ. We want to be acknowledged by him as those who are pleasing in his sight. And that can only be possible if we have lived for that purpose. That was the primary purpose of our lives, to please him in all things. How is it possible, though, for us to have this purpose and live by this purpose of pleasing God? It is possible because of the help that God gives us. It's not because we can be sinlessly perfect. We know better than that. We needed redemption from our sins. We needed redemption from a world of corruption. As Peter said in his appeal to people on Pentecost Day, save yourselves, he said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Every generation has its own crookedness because of the distortion and corruption of sin. And we live in such a generation now. And it is the work of the gospel to deliver us from that. Not only in giving us the forgiveness of our sins when we obey the gospel, but in delivering us every day from this world as we seek to be well-pleasing to him who is our Redeemer. First of all, we have the example of Christ to help us. We have four gospel books with which the New Testament begins, that we may study those books and know Jesus, our Lord. We may understand his mind and his life, be guided by his words, that we may become like him, that as his disciples we follow and we learn from him, we learn Jesus himself, and his influence is taken into our hearts and shapes our thinking and our ways. When Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River by John, he saw the heavens split open. He saw the dove coming down upon him, which was the Holy Spirit. And there was a voice from heaven that was heard, this is my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased, said the father of the son. I am well pleased. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And time went by as Jesus engaged in his ministry and went through all the struggles and the temptations to maintain that ministry that he had from God with faithfulness. And especially in the environment of adversarial relationships and conflicts, and temptations that came. And in one such situation as that, in the temple, Jesus said, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I do always the things that are pleasing to him." John 8, verse 29. Is that of help to us? There are some people who don't think so. And I think the reason for that is they read the gospel books and they have arrived at the view that Jesus, in his life of perfection, is not really teaching us anything about how we can live, because that's beyond us. And that is to miss the point of what the New Testament says about his example. We must become like Jesus, not in being perfect, in being sinlessly perfect, but in the aim, as Paul said, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. Paul wasn't claiming perfection, but he was claiming this, that all the time, every day, in everything, our aim will be to please whom? To please the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2, in discussing one of the criteria of faithfulness to the Lord, whether or not we're walking in the light, as he described it back in chapter 1, verse 7, he made this statement, John the Apostle did, 1 John 2, beginning at verse 3, "Hereby we know that we know him, and that is when we keep his commandments." And if we claim that we know him and we don't keep his commandments, we're being false. We're thinking something, saying something that's just not true. We may deceive ourselves about that, but it's not true. And if we say that we are in him, then it ought to be evident in our lives by the fact that his word abides in us, and we abide in his word. As John goes on to say, that we walk as he walked, that is Christ. 1 John 2, verse 6, we walk as he walked. So that's meant to be of help to us, that we study the example of Christ. Many years ago, there was a religious movement in this country that asked the question, what would Jesus do? And that became a logo and initials on jewelry and posters and signs and plaques put in homes and offices. And so what would Jesus do? That had some salutary effect up to a point. But if there's not behind that the effort to study what Jesus actually did, to learn what Jesus actually said, then it's worthless. Because we cannot know what Jesus would do without studying his words and his life and hearing his teaching. Then and only then can we know what Jesus would do. John says, if we abide in him, if we say that we abide in him, then we ought to walk as he walked. And then over in chapter 3, he speaks about the blessing that we have of being God's children. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. And we know that when he's going to be manifested, we'll be able to see him as he is. We'll be like him. And then he says in verse 3 of 1 John 3, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Again, that's what we sang a moment ago. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he wills that we should holy be, that one day his holy face we may see. So if we have this hope, we purify ourselves. Why? Because he is pure. Is that not how he lived? He lived in all purity. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. So how can we live by this purpose of pleasing God, being well-pleasing to God? We can do it by studying the example of Christ. That will guide us truly. And then second, we have instructions in the New Testament about the Christian life and about the church. And that's why we study those epistles, because those were men of God, guided by the Spirit of God, and they have given us the Word of God. And this must guide us if we will be well-pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in connection with his own ministry of the Word in Galatians chapter 1. When he said, if I were still pleasing men, if that was my purpose, to please men in what I preach and teach, then what would be the consequence of that? I would not be a servant of Christ. How would that fulfill the will of Christ? The will of Christ is for the blessing of people and hearing his word. And if Paul were to falsify that or distort it in any way to please an audience, he would not be serving Christ for the good of that audience or any hearer. So if my primary purpose, says Paul, is to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's a fundamental principle of operation that every minister of the word, every teacher of the Bible, every missionary of the gospel has to keep in mind. And the church ought to be 100% fully supportive of its fulfillment. Now, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, a young congregation with whom he had but little time to teach and to help them, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, finally then, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received us of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Even as you do walk, he said. Abound more and more in that. Let that be your continuing purpose. Give yourself wholly to it. Nothing stinting about this, nothing held back, nothing set over somewhere else aside from this purpose. Let your whole purpose be to please God, to live by these instructions, and they had been well taught. It's a matter then of hearing the instruction and taking that into one's heart, having convictions about it that are according to those instructions, and then living by it. You know, he says, the commandment we gave to you through the Lord Jesus. The very next verse. By commandment, Paul means not one single commandment. He means all the teaching. All of it comes by the authority of Christ. So it's not a matter of pleasing Paul. It's pleasing the Lord Jesus, as Paul said, from whom he has this word of instruction had given to the church. In Ephesians 5 and verse 10, he said, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. The word prove there means to discern. It calls for effort, for study, contemplation of the teaching of the Lord through the apostle and other inspired men. And then in a world that's gone crazy in its immorality and its alienation and rebellion against God, being focused upon discerning and doing what is pleasing to God, proving what is well-pleasing to God. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, he said. Those things are to be reproved. We are not to conform to those things, but by our lives and our teaching, we show that we stand apart from that. One ought to read that whole fifth chapter of Ephesians down through the 14th verse to see what Paul is talking about there, because he was talking about a world that was steeped in its immorality and its estrangement from God, and it had affected the minds of people in the world and their culture and what they approved of. Paul said, instead, you be people who approve of those things that are pleasing to God. These are challenging words, but these are words that guide us aright. And ignoring or turning away from these words, we weaken ourselves and we cannot be pleasing to God. There's the passage that is familiar to you in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where two times Paul uses the word that means pleasing or well-pleasing to God. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, we wouldn't even know the gospel and be Christians if it was not for the mercies of God. Now, on the basis of that, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, that is, well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service. You know what Paul meant by reasonable or spiritual there? He meant that this is what anybody would understand that knows the gospel. Anything else does not make sense. It's according to good sense in the understanding of the gospel. It's what a right-thinking mind would think. And so when we understand the gospel, we realize the rightness of this. The Lord redeemed me, body, soul, and spirit. That's why Paul could say, in talking about the sins of sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that Christians need to remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. Glorify God, therefore, he said, in your body. So do not be conformed to this world, back to Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be fashioned according to the ways and thinking this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where it begins. Our minds must be right. We must think what is right in order to be right. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that is, discern, approve of, and live by what is pleasing or acceptable to God, the will of God. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acceptable here means well-pleasing. It's good because it will always be good if it's the will of God and we're in harmony with it. But then he said perfect. Perfect. That means complete, entire. That everything about our thinking, our conduct, our conversation, our purpose as Christians and as a congregation ought to be done with a desire to be pleasing to him. So we have instructions. We have the example of Christ, and we have instructions. Think of where we would be in trying to live a Christian life and the uncertainty that would be ours if we didn't have the example of Christ and the instructions so plainly given about what we ought to think and what we ought to say and how we ought to conduct ourselves. So we have this aim. I hope we do, to be well-pleasing to God. Paul said, whether at home or absent, whether I'm alive in this world when he comes or dead then, that means it's a lifetime purpose. As long as we live in everything, we want to be pleasing to him. And then third, we have something else. And this too is a gift of God. We have the privilege and blessing of prayer that is pertinent to this purpose of being pleasing to God. And this is most beautifully and powerfully expressed in the prayer that's found at the end of the epistle to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. Make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. This is a prayer for God's influence to be received and at work in our lives to bring about the results that he desires for us in thought and conduct, in fellowship and worship and work, in everything. To do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the understanding of that prayer and everything that I've said in this sermon means that if, like the world, my purpose should become that of being satisfied according to my own judgments and opinions and feelings, then I would have become very foolish. And I would have forgotten that the redemption is about being saved from that and being conformed to the will of God and seeking to do his will. Because I know mine own weakness. I know that in my heart there are thoughts and ways at times that need to be changed and improved, be conformed to God's will. I know that's true of my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we must share with Paul this purpose. We make it our aim, our goal, our very ambition in life, and yes, our labor day by day to be well-pleasing to him. There was a man named Enoch. And the Bible says of him that by faith, Enoch was translated. He was transferred out of this world to another world, on this planet of corruption, into the presence of God. And he wasn't found anymore, which indicates they looked for him and he couldn't be found. Why? Because God took him out of this world. Why did God do that? For he hath had witness borne to him that before his translation, before he was taken away, he had been well pleasing to God. And then the writer says, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. Now, what kind of faith is that? This whole chapter, Hebrews 11, is about the kind of faith that he had in mind. And example after example after example in Hebrews chapter 11, from Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Moses, they're examples of the faith in God that believes every word he says and obeys him and adjusts one's life to God. Not adjusting God's word to one's life, but adjusting one's life to God. Without that faith, says the writer, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to him. And we want to be well-pleasing to him, do we not? Because he that comes to God must believe that he is, not any God in our imagination, but the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is. And he's a rewarder of whom? Just anybody has a good feeling about him? He's a rewarder of those who seek him. Not our own ways, but who seek God. Now, that's the only way that we can be well-pleasing to God. I've spoken to the members of the church this morning about what ought to be our chief purpose in everything. But this is what was preached by Peter on Pentecost Day to people who had not yet become Christians. And when they heard that gospel message, you know what they thought? We are not pleasing to God. And in their souls that had been pierced by the word of God, they knew it. And they said to men who knew God's will and had helped them by teaching the gospel, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent means what? It means I must change. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What does the name of Jesus Christ stand for? But the will of God for our lives. And there's where forgiveness is found and the new life of God's Spirit. And 3,000 of those people did so when they heard Peter say to them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then what did they do after they were baptized? They continued in the apostles' teaching. That's why they became the congregation they were, with such notable characteristics of faithfulness, because their aim was to please God. Let us stand and sing.
Be seated, please. To prepare our minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 770. We'll sing the first and last verse of 770.
Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full. Oh, the day.
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper this morning, let's all clear our thoughts and prepare our hearts and think on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus. We're thankful that He gave Himself, gave His life on a cruel cross of Calvary, that we can have forgiveness for our sins. At this time, we pray that you would bless this bread, which represents His body that hung on that cross. We pray that we will all take of it in a pleasing manner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pray again. Dear Lord, as we continue in this time of remembrance and reflection, we pray that you would bless this fruit of vine, which represents the blood shed on the cross. I pray that we all would take of it in a pleasing manner. In Christ's name, amen. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for all the things that we have, all the things we enjoy, the freedoms we have, the health we have, the abilities that we have in this country. At this time, we have an opportunity to give to you as you have blessed us. We pray that this will be used to spread the gospel, to develop Christians, and to ultimately save souls in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're grateful for your presence here this morning. To our visitors, thank you for being here. Please come back at any opportunity that you may have. Remember, our service is tonight at 6 p.m. Our closing song will be number 901. Would you please stand for the first verse of 901?
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness. All will be gladness when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears out there. Sorrow.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, for the freedom and opportunity we've had to assemble here. We're so thankful for all those that have taken an opportunity and done this. And we pray for those that are in hospitals and home-ridden, all our sick and shut in, be with them. We pray that you'll forgive us of all our many sins, and thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.